Hi, and welcome to Let's Talk, the show that brings you the most important conversations of the day. I'm Sharad Kutin. Today, I'm going to be talking to a bunch of young people who have the economy on their minds. And they are Lohui Chi, Kadman Chong, and Lavanya Vijayakumar. Thank you very much for joining us. You're Hello. All part of an organization calling yourselves Young Corporate Malaysians. A very interesting expression, corporate Malaysians. I'm saying young, I understand Malaysians. What does corporate mean when it comes to the organization? I'm going to ask Hui Chi, if you could just tell us, you know, what it meant to you, because you're not the founding member. This is a 10-year-old organization, but you joined it. Why did you want to join it?
I think it's really important, right? Okay, let me talk a little bit about the history of Young Corporate Malaysians. So it all started 10 years ago in 2008, when a bunch of young students, fresh graduate, came back from the UK. So they came back and they realized that, hey, I want to talk to CEOs, I want to talk to corporate leaders and whatsoever. And they didn't have the platform to talk to them. It's not like back in the days in university, you have student organizations, you have, you know, a different organization that's your support system back when you were a student. So then they started Young Corporate Malaysians with the objective of creating a platform for all the young professionals, the fresh graduates, the people, the professionals less than 2 years or 5 years of working experience to talk to the top leaders. Because
okay, so that's fascinating. So you want to talk to top leaders. Do they want to talk to you, Lavanya? I mean, you know, do they say, oh yeah, you start an organization, now we'll come down from our Olympian heights and we'll start to talk to these young fresh grads?
I think what YCM really does is it bridges that gap, right? Because, come on, at the time of these CEOs or like even corporate leaders, executives, is very precious, right? So that time, even if we want to ask 1 hour from it, if I could manage to speak to them for an hour, right, it's not really being maximized, right? But instead, if I bring 100 people to listen to that same message in that 1 hour, the impact can be like multiplied. And I think that's what's really amazing about bringing these years of experience from somebody. In 1 hour, you amplify that experience to hundreds and thousands of people, and that's maximum impact. That's,
you know,
learning.
Yeah, okay, Kadman, there is this thing, of course, that you could access corporate leaders mm-hmm. through the media interviews they give, right? So they Correct. Speak to the media, and you can read those interviews.
Yeah.
Why isn't that enough?
Because it's one way. Because nowadays, youngsters, they are very demanding. One-way interaction is not enough. They want to be there. They want to have a conversation. They want to have a say in the topics that was being discussed, that was being presented. So when we create, you know, this kind of platform or opportunity, this interests young corporates that they can actually have a say in the topic. They can have a say. They can have, in a way, nowadays, it's the youngsters now, they want to be different.
Okay, I understand that. I would maybe remind you later on about how people, when I was young, me too wanted to have a say. But never mind about that. Now, you create a platform. You say you want that interaction. Have you found in the last 10 years a receptivity among the top echelon of the corporate world in Malaysia, you know, open to having a dialogue with young people?
Yes, definitely, right? So it started all from like one way that the founding members went to approach the top leaders of the companies to be part of, to actually spend some time with the young corporates. But now, in a way, it kind of become a mixed, because we get a lot of requests to say that, hey, can you feature my CEO in this this series or in a particular initiative? So we want more visibility for a CEO, we want for our corporate leaders, and also we want to give back to the society as well.
Okay, so yeah. They are actually seeing some value in interacting
yes,
with young people.
Yeah.
I was looking at your membership numbers.
Yeah.
You say you have about 11,000 members, yep. right? And the breakdown's quite interesting. In the financial services, about 20% come from banking and financial services. 4%, as a contrast, come from education, for instance. And from government, even less, about 3.7%. Now, that profile, as you were, of the membership, can you tell us, Lavanya, a little bit about why it is that, say, people in banking have, you know, come to YCM more than others?
I think personally, because I come from a finance background, I think we're more exposed to things like networking, to actually get involved in like corporate sector, where I think we don't really appeal yet to, we don't consider firms in like educational sectors to be more of corporate. And I think that's something that needs to be changed, because now, I mean, a lot of things are changing, like things like Teach for Malaysia is like coming up.
Would you consider them part of that kind of corporate profile that you want to attract into the membership?
I think we're evolving towards it, because from the time that YCM started off, we started inviting like big name CEOs, like household name CEOs. But now we're actually bringing in people who are like entrepreneurs, disruptors, right? People who are making social change, because we want to have these conversations, we want to discuss to actually see how can we grow as a community, as a country, right? So it's more of a social thing now.
All right, okay, Kadman, this idea of corporate, young corporate Malaysians, is that an identity? Is that something you had to promote to get people to think of themselves as being part of this community of corporates, as opposed to what, activists, as opposed to what, artists? What does it mean to be corporate?
I think back in the day, the idea is very different compared to now, because back in the day is very much student tie, very much, you know, formal business wear, and you're in the banking industry, you're in, you know, the high corporate jobs. Yeah. But then now, as 10 years go by, we see a lot of huge involvement in terms of startups, entrepreneurs, and they also make up a big part of our membership base now, and it's expanding. And hence why you can see a diversity in terms of the programs, in terms of the speakers that we offer, where we actually involve all these startups and entrepreneurs, because it is the hot topic. Everyone wants to get a piece.
Okay, piece of the pie. Weechi, you know, the issue of membership is interesting, because when you're small, you're nimble, you can, you know, there's this kind of intimacy. 11,000 is huge, right? Yeah, I mean, how do you bring everybody together to make decisions about the kind of summit or themes you want to follow, the future direction of the organization? Has it become unwieldy?
So I think our member actually evolve as well, right? So people who joined us 10 years ago has become some corporate leaders right now, or even startup founders.
And do they leave the organization?
They still support us.
They're
right?
huge supporters. You never leave.
Once you're
like Hotel California. A little bit like that.
You never leave.
You don't know that musical reference, I'm sure. You're too young. Okay, so there's a cycling there. So the active part of the membership, how many people would that be?
I think currently now, like in active membership, like people who quite respond to our email, in terms of like sort of young professional, I would say like people within 5 years of experience, they make up sort of, I think, about 40 to 50% of our member base. So the ones before that, they've got more than 5 years of experience. So in 2008, if you were 22, you're 23 years old now, you're probably, you know, 33 or 32. We're not exactly in our profile of young professionals,
but
right?
That's when they start contributing.
Yeah,
back
exactly. And
So what is it that they want to achieve in this? I mean, do people who join YCM have a very clear idea about what the benefits are of joining the organization, Kadman?
I think, you know, personally, how my journey started is, I just went to, because I was a finance student, so there was a talk about, the director of World Bank at the time. So I just attended the CEO series, and I was like, wow, so you have this kind of, you know, organization that brings all these corporate people together, you have a lot of young, passionate people there as well. So I was like, very interesting. And I volunteered for the summit, and that's how I got involved. And I was like, I see the opportunity there.
Is everybody as hungry as the three of you are, or the membership is? Because I know a lot of people go through life just kind of like, you know, painting by numbers, right? They finish the exams, they apply for a job, they're in it, and they don't really think too deeply. You guys want something more. Vijay, what is it that you want from life and from your career?
So for me, the motive or the objective that made me join YCM was that I just came back from Australia back then and had a job immediately and found out that, hey, outside of 9-to-6 job, I don't have anything else to do. And worst come to worst, I don't have Wi-Fi at home. So I couldn't do anything.
must be one of the few people in Malaysia that doesn't have Wi-Fi.
I didn't have Wi-Fi because I was staying alone and I was so stingy that I didn't want to have Wi-Fi at home.
She's a finance student.
Yes. Yeah. So they all know that back in the days, I slept very early because I had nothing to do. So then a friend of mine actually shared YCM to me. I said, hey, I think you should join YCM. You have nothing to do outside of work. So I thought, like, hey, why not, right? Because if I'm just limiting myself at workplace, I'm just going to know that circle of friends, the circle of colleagues that I hang out with, 9 to 6, go for lunch or sometimes dinner, and that's it. And I don't know anything else that's happening outside of my industry, right?
Right, okay. So you both share that same hunger, the curiosity to discover more than just what is available to you in your workplace?
I think it's sort of your behavior, right? It's your interest. Like, Huiqi always, she mentioned to me this saying once. She said, what really defines you in life is what you do out of your 9-to-6 job. You know, that's what really differentiates you from someone next to you.
Wonderful, you're quoting each other. Hold that thought, we're going to come back to you. I'm talking to the people from A Young Corporate Malaysia, and they are putting together a summit, and we're going to learn more about that summit after this. Stay tuned to Let's Talk with me, Sharad Kutin. Welcome back to Let's Talk with me, Sharad Kutin. Today we're talking to young people who have the economy and global conversations about the economy on their mind. They are from Young Corporate Malaysians. It's an organization that was set up 10 years ago to instill a sense of interest in these issues, as well as providing a network, also a platform for young people to interact with and engage with those who are already made it to the top of the pinnacle. They have a summit coming up later this month on the 24th, and it's 2 days before the deadline on attending that summit. And so I guess if we, after this show, you want to apply, please do, and they will give you the website or the email to write to. But tell us about the theme. You've had some fascinating themes over the last 10 years. This year, it's the distributed economy. Now, it's a bit of a mouthful, and it's not something I think intuitively one would recognize. You know, it's quite different from smart cities, the next frontier, or diversity in the global workplace, or ASEAN emerging opportunities. I mean, those kind of speaks kind of quite clearly and directly. What is the distributed economy?
So what is the distributed economy?
I mean, just in a nutshell, this is not going to be an economics lesson, I know. We don't have time for that, but tell us, what is it?
So distributed economy, I think the simplest way I could put it is basically putting resources or distributing wealth to people who help generate it. So basically moving from large centralized production to a synergistic regional approach, right? So we're looking at local SMEs, local business development. So development in a very regional, very societal level, in a very local community level, instead of large productions. So it basically looks at how do we do industrialization in a sustainable manner.
Okay, that's fascinating, because we've had over the years, you know, the discussion about income inequality, huge disparities globally, and it's born a discussion about universal basic income. That was one discussion. We've had disruptive technologies, and you know, we have hotel companies that don't own hotels, or taxi companies that don't own taxis, all that we know. So why is it that the distributed economy discussion and conversation was of interest to you and your fellow members?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting when Laf pitched the idea to us, right? Instead of doing like a very conventional IR 4.0 or that other themes, right? I think what echo with YCM a lot is that what if one day everyone, all the HR company shares, has the way to share CVs, and they can view everyone's CVs and they can evaluate you, and what happens to young corporate Malaysians or young corporate, right, young professionals, or even everyone, right? I think that's the mindset that we need to instill at to the young professionals and everyone in Malaysia, that this is going to happen.
Okay, so something is happening. Something's changing about the way information is shared, or production systems are put together. We have supply chains, all kinds of complex ways in which even something is put together. A car rarely these days are put together on a national basis, right? And in fact, it's often distributed internationally. For you, Cadman, what was compelling about this theme? Of all the themes that could be taken up, you mentioned the Industrial Revolution 4.0. That's, you know, politicians love it. They talk about it all the time, right? And it gets to a point where there are a lot of platitudes. There are a lot of things that are said. There's a lot of rhetoric. Is this something of a kind of a thought leadership idea for YCM that they're going to be taking up the distributed economy issue?
Okay, I think I would go on a personal level and why this theme is so appealing to me. Like, in when you hear the word distributed economy, it means like everyone has the equal amount. They have the equal resources. And it's very similar to the idea of, rather than giving a fish to a person, you teach the person how to fish, and then they will never go hungry again. It's, you know, just very simple layman term, right? I mean, we don't want to be more bombastic terms. So that idea very, like, appealed to me, because nowadays, information, even though it's accessible, even though resources are accessible to everybody, but it's not distributed evenly, not everyone has the same equal access as everybody.
Okay, so there is a question of production, though, and I noted the reference to the small, medium-sized enterprises, and that's the backbone of the Malaysian economy. Like over 90% of the economy is SME-run. Now, were you talking about the distributive justice that Cadman seems to suggest, or were you talking about the production side of it and all those little bits? Because you talk about blockchain as well. Yeah. There are a lot of like very sexy ideas at this summit, right? The building blocks of this distributed economy.
So when we first explored distributed economy, right, that's the first time I've ever heard about it. And I was like, oh my God, what is this, right?
And you pitched it.
Yeah, I pitched it. Because when we were discussing in IR 4.0 and everybody was doing it, and I think at one point I felt like you can't personally connect to IR 4.0. You know, it's technology. Technology changes. You know, nobody wants to know how the internet works. People want to know how can I make use of the internet.
Yeah.
And I think that's where distributed economy comes in, right? You want to know how it impacts you as a person and how it will change things for you in the future. So distributed economy comes in a really broad spectrum, and we brought it down to like four main issues that we wanted to focus in the summit that's relevant to Malaysia, relevant to young professionals, where we can act on real ideas, right? So the four issues that we focused on was, number one is employment and job creation, obviously young professionals, you know? and the next issue was blockchain and open financial technologies, because we all need to know about finance. And the third was inequality, because I think that's a really, really huge issue that we need to combat as a developing society. And the last one was, are we ready to regulate the platform economy? Are policymakers and law makers, you know, actually evolving to it?
Okay, Huiji, do people, I mean, the people who come to your summit, who are they going to be listening to? Are there experts that you've invited who are going to be informing the audience about these things? Do you expect your audience to come informed already? I know there's some reading material on your website. Well, what's the dynamic like?
I think the reading material definitely helps, because it gives you a basic background of what distributed economy is like and how it will impact everyone, right? But we are, on the summit day itself, we are going to discuss more. We have got industry experts. We have we have reps from World Bank who are really, really experts. We have economists from World Bank as well to talk about all these issues. And then we have even startups, new financial startups, founders, we have
blockchain developers. We have disruptors.
Right. So you have basically people who are already in leadership positions who can help you understand this. Cadman, tell me about the process of filtering who gets to come to the I understand. You know, it's not a first come, first serve basis. Yes. What is the basis for letting people into this summit?
Because I think we want to pick the right people, and also so that people can actually make full use of the theme, make full use of the topic. And we want to give the right opportunity to the people who is actually really hungry and they really, really are interested.
How would you know that, though? I mean, how do you decide who, you know, who gets in, who doesn't, and who's really hungry, for instance?
Because at first, when we first opened out the application, and we want to see how people react to the theme of distributed economy, and hence we throw the question back to them. What do you think of this? How can you contribute to discussion of distributed economy?
So there's an application essay.
There's an application.
Let's not put it in essay. Yes.
No, I mean, it's basically just to see why you want to attend the summit and if it's for the right reasons, you know. And of course, definitely, we want to focus on people that need that opportunity. So that being, we want to focus on giving the opportunity to young professionals who've just come out to the job market and, you know, who've just started their work.
Okay. We'll hold that thought. We'll come back. Very interesting. You'll have to write a short essay to get into the summit. Limited resources, I think about 300 people can get in. So I understand the pressures on you. But okay, we're going to come back and discuss the issue of networking and all those other interesting things that happen when you create platforms like this. Stay tuned to Let's Talk with me, Sharad Kutan. Welcome back to Let's Talk with me, Sharad Kutan. My guests today are Lo Hui Chi, Kadman Chong, and Lavanya Vijayakumar. They're all members of Young Corporate Malaysians. It's an organization that trying to create a platform for young professionals to interact with the people on the top of the pinnacle, top of the corporate ladder, but also to inform them themselves of these global conversations about the economy and work. Okay, so we talked a bit about the summit. You gave us a sense of what a distributed economy issue is and the components. I do want to ask a bit about the group, though. And I know networking is a very powerful idea. We know of all of us who have read the book about JOLO and the 1MDB scandal, Billion Dollar Whale, will know how important networking is. You know, it can be used for good, mm-hmm. and it clearly can be used for bad. Yep. Now, what exactly is the idea of a networking cabin in the group? I mean, how does it operate? And I know that you've got this other dimension, mentorship. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
Okay, so let's talk about networking first. Okay, so we, as YCM, we are, it's very clear, right? We are actually creating a platform. And how you network, or you have, we create the opportunity, and it's up for you to grab it. Okay, because we already created a platform for you, and if you don't grab it, then that's your loss, right? Yeah, so for us, basically, we want to bridge the gap in between young corporates and top CEOs, and how we can do that is creating events, creating
okay, but programs. These events, the events you say, right? So you say you can only have 300 people at this summit. Mm-hmm. You have 11,000 members. Yeah. Are people banging on the gates and saying, I should have got it, my essay was actually stunning, you know? How do you make sense of that dimension of it? Because networking, obviously, can only happen in very intimate situations. Right? I mean, 300 is reasonably intimate when you have a membership of 11,000. How do you work that out?
Because I think Summit this time around is the first time that we are actually
closed
off, but we have an application and you have to submit a CV and give us a short thought on the theme. But we also have a lot of other events that is very much open to public, like CEO series, which where we cater to, it depends if we have 300, 400. We hosted back then.
350, yeah, KJ, YBKJ.
Back then,
that was Wahid Omar as well.
Yeah. Okay, so you do have things that, so you have a series of events and people can come to any of those events. Okay, so that I understand. Now, what about the mentorship program?
Yeah. So I think networking, we want to bring it up to another level, right? It's, instead of just shaking hands, holding a your coffee or whatsoever, talking to the CEOs.
Changing name cards.
It happens a lot, right, during networking events. We want to bring it up to another level. So we thought what young professionals nowadays actually need the most, right? And I myself, I echo a lot with having a mentor and having a guidance when I'm lost, right? So I think mentors actually help me a lot in terms of giving me directions when I'm clueless.
Right. So what do? You match somebody who's willing to be a mentor to somebody who needs mentorship?
Yep. So obviously we have people who apply to the mentorship program. They are someone who need the mentors, right? And we have mentors who are actually partners from the Big Four or startup founders or top CEOs to actually volunteer to mentor these mentees who they have chemistry with during their like 5 minutes talking sessions or whatever not.
5 minutes? You say it's a 5 minute talking session?
Yeah, so it's like speed dating. We call it speed mentorship. Yeah. It's like conveyor.
Well, not speed dating.
Not dating. So it's like conveyor, but like sushi conveyor belt. Yeah. So
we actually have a mechanism for
Yeah. So the mentor will sit still, and then every 5 minutes there'll be a potential mentees talking to the mentors. Then they will rate each other on the level of chemistry they have, and then we match them based on that. And then they'll take the mentorship for the next 2 or 3 months.
Okay, so the speed mentoring is just the initial part of the process.
Yeah.
It goes on to something with greater depth, is it?
Yeah.
This is extraordinary for me, because I think where people, in corporate Malaysia on the topmost part of the pyramid are squeezed for time. They don't really have the time. Were you surprised, Lavanya, that people actually said yes to this, that they were willing to give their time to mentorship?
I think I wasn't really surprised, because I think as you grow, you tend to become more open to giving and sharing. And I think corporate leaders, when I speak to them, they're actually not that far off. I think YCM has taught me that, you know, people are actually just people, you know, regardless of their, you know, achievements or how much high they've climbed up the corporate ladder. They're genuinely nice people. They're people who want to help other people, just like us. You know, we're enthusiastic about YCM and trying to open up opportunities for other young professionals.
Maybe from the outside, they look like, you know, they are all high up there and everything. But then actually, deep down inside, they're just very passionate.
Okay, Karen, did you have a mentor? Did you apply for the mentorship?
Yes, I was a mentee.
And who was your mentor? Can you name the person?
I've actually had numerous mentors. Yeah.
Okay. What did you gain most from those relationships?
Because I think we all have, I mean, as a young corporate, we all have been to that path where we're lost.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't know. Sometimes, like, what's the next step moving forward? Yeah. And you need that mentor to give you that flick, that push. Yeah. That's like, oh yes.
Yeah.
Not telling you exactly what to do, but in terms of just pave your way into, in a way, how do you say, guiding you towards the direction.
Okay,
you
so Huichi, this is not about getting a job. It's not going to your mentor and saying, would you give me a job in your organization?
No. It's all about the guidance and the light that your mentors can give.
Is there a kind of ethics of mentorship from both sides that you have to make very explicit about the terms and limits? Because I can imagine young people saying, well, if I'm in a mentoring relationship with somebody who's got influence, why can't I use that, get them to get me a job, for instance? I mean, are there rules and do you set them out?
We don't, generally, we don't.
Yeah.
So it's all up to the mentee to drive the relationship. So we believe very much that mentorship is actually a very mentee-driven relationship. So
meaning the person who actually is getting the balls from there.
Yeah. So the mentee will drive the relationship, because mentors are normally very busy, very occupied. So you can't expect them to check in with you. Hey, Huichi. Hey, Lavanya. How are you doing today? Right? You have to check in with your mentors. So I think that's where the ethics comes in. So you have to decide where to set your boundaries, or whether outside of the mentorship duration, do you want to take the relationship further? Or do you want to just stop within the 3 or 2 months, right? So it's all up to the mentees and the mentors whether they are comfortable or not to bring this relationship further.
Okay, Lavanya, you know, is there a question of gender in this? I mean, meaning, are young women, do they want women leaders, women corporate leaders, to model themselves on? Is there a lack of women in corporate Malaysia who can play mentoring roles for young women who want specifically to work with older women?
I think there's quite a significant proportion of our mentors and mentees who are women.
Yeah.
And I think we make it a very, very important point to actually ensure gender diversity in any events that we do. And I think from my perspective, yes, I think it's very important for a female mentee to have a female mentor, primarily because it makes it easier for you to foresee a lot of things. And I've had several mentors over the last few years of my career development and stuff. And I think it's really, really important. It's one of the most significant things that really determines how successful you become when you go out to the corporate world.
I think a key question that often, happen between the female mentors or mentees is that, how do you juggle family and also career at the same time, right?
Is this something for men too? Should men also be asking this question? How do you juggle family?
I mean, when we talk about gender equality, right? Yeah, so I mean, I personally, I don't look at it as whether, you know, I would want to learn from women leader, I want to learn from men leader, I want to learn from a passionate leader who's very willing to share with me. You know, for me, it's, you know, both are the same.
Okay. Hold that thought. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned to Let's Talk with me, Sharad Kutan. Hi, welcome back to Let's Talk with me, Sharad Kutin, and my guests tonight, Alohi Chi, Kadman Chong, and Lavanya Vijayakumar. They're all members of Young Corporate Malaysians. We've been talking about their summit that's coming up on the 24th. Closing date for applications is 2 days from now, so you still time if you're persuaded by what they're trying to sell you, which is an idea not just of networking and mentoring, but actually getting into global conversations. Now, there's something that fascinated me in the lineup that you had. It was called Flash Talk, and it was an economy that works for everyone. Now, that's an interesting idea. Yeah. Lavanya, why everyone? Why does it have to work for everyone?
Because it should.
Is that a moral imperative? It ought to work for everyone? We know the current economy does not work for everyone.
Yeah.
We know there's huge and increasing, wealth gap globally, mm-hmm. and even in Malaysia and so on and so forth. So the ought to, where's it coming from? And for you, why is it important that it works for everyone?
I think for me, it's important because if I can go to a restaurant for lunch and choose which restaurant I want to eat, what food I want to eat, and that's like the biggest problem of my day. But for someone else, whether I can have a single meal that day or that week, or whether I can feed my child in the same country, in the same vicinity, in the same city, that's scary, that's unfair, and that shouldn't be the case. And that's why we should have this kind of conversations.
You know, when we think of young people, especially who want to rise up that corporate ladder, we often think of them as being very self-centered, self-directed, perhaps not as concerned or empathetic about everybody else. That's the stereotype, at least, right?
Yes.
And it, perhaps a fair stereotype of the selfish, self-driven millennial who wants to make it rich, right? Not necessarily somebody who has concern for those who are falling through and not making it. Do you share Lavanya's sentiments about that, you know, that a future economy needs to work for everybody?
Yeah, definitely, right? So I think back in my parents' day, how to make money is just that if I have an idea, I execute it and I can make money, right? But in our generation, it's close to impossible. A fresh grad graduating from university, spending so much money on university already, came out to like a very minimal pay salary. So, and it's so hard to rise up the corporate ladder. It takes so long and inflation is happening, and we aren't even able to buy things that we want to support our basic cost of living, and property price is rising and everything. So I think this is something that we really need to look into, and I think the distributed economy and an economy that works for everyone really needs to happen.
Right. Okay. So the you set out the problem, and it's in some ways a middle class problem, right? The middle income trap that the country is in generally. Kadman, your take on this idea of an economy that works for everybody, because you know in the past there's always this talk that the economy, if the state steps out, the market, it's a market driven economy, there'll be trickle down, and everybody will prosper. Is that something that you philosophically subscribe to?
Okay, so I would like to, this is a comic strip that I saw, or an article. it's on, I think maybe you guys have seen it before as well. It's about a parent and a kid with a homeless guy or a rubbish picker. And then like one parent would say, study hard, then you won't be like that. Or another perspective is work hard now in order to make his life better.
Oh, okay.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah, so this is the idea I would say I would resonate to. And I come from currently from an e-commerce background where we create equal opportunities for everybody, where everything is reachable to everybody.
Right, so it's not a competition, it's not driving it down, and it's not a vicious dog-eat-dog kind of imagination that you have, right, when it comes to the economy. Lavanya, on your website, you have make reference to Kate Raworth. She's the author of a book, and she uses this idea of a donut, the donut that describes both the shortfalls of who in the world is not getting basic needs, and this idea that in some respects we are overshooting the Earth's ecological support potential, right?
Yeah.
Why is Kate Raworth so much part of your program?
So the idea behind Kate Raworth's donut model is that, you know, there's this very thin line of which is the donut line, which belongs to a certain percentage of the population, which is supposedly, you know, the rich become richer, the poor become poorer. So the poor people fall through that hole in that donut. So how do we then expand the size of that donut so that it can include everybody? And that can
that
be
would make it a pancake.
Literally, yeah, literally, literally, right? So how do we do that? So she proposes the distributed flows, distributed network, which is basically a distributed economy, right, by design, right? Why this works is because it reduces concentration onto a certain percentage of the population. It raises questions of wealth ownership, right? Shouldn't employees own the companies and not shareholders, right? Why, when employees are working, why should shareholders own the company? If employees own the company, then the productivity will be much higher because they have incentive to work harder towards it. And who should create money? Why should banks create money? We have technologies like blockchain to support it. So we don't have to rely on a central authority. So what it does is it improves the quality of life without relying on a central authority sitting somewhere else making decisions. Instead, it focuses on smaller communities, local communities, make a difference there. Be aware of your social surroundings. You are aware of your river is polluted, because if I'm sitting in London or in the US and have a factory, I wouldn't know whether your river is being polluted, whether your needs are being met. But if you're a local community entrepreneur, you will know what's exactly the needs of that community. So you can cater to the specific needs of every single person.
Okay, so this is the vision of a society that's self-regulating and cares for all its members and stakeholders. Ruchi, did you, when you went to university, learn about things like this? So I know you studied commerce at ANU, the Australian National University. Was it part of the curriculum to think empathetically about others, to think about the ecology?
That's something that, you know, textbooks don't tell you, right? So it's all about things that you got exposed to and people that you talk to or leaders that you admire, right? So no, we don't learn all this. So it's all up to you to take the step to actually, you know, step out of your comfort zone. If studying is your comfort zone, you step out of it and learn something new. I think that's
make a difference.
Yeah.
Kevin, I mean, for you, you know, are you an avid reader? Are you excited by the new ideas that are circulating globally? And are you very much like your peers, or are they people who just kind of just, you know, do what needs to be done and they're not really thinking about
what they're doing? I think us being young corporate Malaysians is a proof that we are not like that, right? You know, we always trying to step out, we're always trying to do different things, you know. I studied finance, now I'm in, you know, e-commerce. I'm doing, you know, just different things. I would like to explore different things and always learn, you know, that hunger for knowledge, the hunger for, you know, it's there.
Okay, I want to ask you this, and it's part of your generation. My generation, the generation before us, have given you a planet that's really quite damaged. And some of the prognosis of the planet is actually quite scary, right? The question of whether we can reverse some of that damage. Do you ever get... do you ever despair, Lavanya, that you are actually going to inherit a terrible world of diminishing horizons?
Not really, to be honest.
Yeah, so where's the optimism come from there? Because there's a lot of bad news out there.
I think it's necessary for us to go through that transformation, because if not, we wouldn't have the technologies that we have today.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have such advancements in medical, in healthcare, like, you know, or in anything, to be honest, right?
Yeah.
From the food that we eat. Like, I know a lot of people complain about the type of food that we eat and etc. But we have made so much advancements in the technology, the speed of processing, bringing food from somewhere else in the world all the way across. And those are pretty amazing things that your generation has done, you know? And it puts a huge burden on us, and it poses a new challenge that we're here, we've created all these things. How can you then propel this and at the same time make this more sustainable?
Because sustainability is the name of the game when the Earth's resources are stretched to the limit.
Yeah.
We'll be back and we'll be looking at their wishes for the new Malaysia. Stay tuned. Let's talk with Vishrad Kutan. Welcome back to Let's Talk with Nisharad Kutin. In the house, I have Alohuichi, Kadman Chong, and Lavanya Vijayakumar. They're all members of Young Corporate Malaysians. It's an organization. They're having a summit very soon. The closing date is 2 days from now. So we're going to find out exactly where you can apply to be part of this conversation. I do want to end on a much more personal note. We talked about the global horizons and the ecological crisis, which Lavanya seems to think is not going to be a big problem, but never mind. Personally for you, Kadman, I mean, you know, we had that May 9th election. It was at least seen politically as a huge break from the past. Right. Do you feel a kind of optimism yourself personally? And where is that optimism taking you? Obviously in this organization, but then what?
Okay, so I think I would just go down to the simplest things first, right? I would want to see, you know, let's not talk about big things, but let's talk about simple things, as simple as standing one side of the escalator, letting people get out from the MRT.
Okay, civic consciousness.
Yeah, lining. I think we should start from there. Don't you think? Like, we should start from there, no? That's those basic things that we do every single day.
Yeah, suddenly people rushing in when, in fact, they should let you come out of the train first. But okay, so you reach for something a little up the higher order aspirations that you have. What would they be?
I really do hope that. I think one thing that relates to me, because when we were at a career fair, I see a lot of graduates nowadays who can't seem to get a job. And I think that, and for us, it's like, you know, for me personally, I would want that opportunity to be given to everybody, that no one has to struggle so hard, graduated 5 years, 6 years, and still unable to get a job. I think for me, that would be the biggest aspiration for myself personally.
Okay, all of you here have jobs, and perhaps you count yourself lucky because of it. Richie, what's your aspiration for yourself in this new Malaysia? Is Malaysia the limits for you? I mean, do you think of where you could go beyond Malaysia as well?
I think for me, a lot of people, especially my family, my grandma, my grandpas, they often ask me, why don't you stay back in Australia, and why do you even come back to Malaysia in the first place? I think this happens to a lot of overseas graduates, right? Why don't you stay in London, stay in the US, right? And not
why
come
did,
back
why
here?
Why did you come back?
Because to me, Malaysia is, first, of course, that's where home is. And secondly, it's a developing countries, and that's where most of the opportunities lies. So you don't want to go to somewhere with, you know, so saturated, people are living so comfortably and not appreciative of what they have right now, right? So that's why I came back to Malaysia.
So Malaysia actually represents a challenge for you.
It is a challenge. It is an opportunity. It is where we can take ourselves further and, you know, just propel from Malaysia. It's a very good starting ground.
Well, Lavanya, what about you? I mean, what's your personal sense of your own trajectory considering the landscape?
I think in two levels, right? Personally, I resonate very much with Huichi. Like, a lot of people ask me, like, even if you had offers, why did you come back to Malaysia? Even my boss asked me, like, what are you doing in Malaysia? You know, there's no opportunity here. And I think that's a mindset that needs to change, right? Because if everybody's going to ask that question, then nobody's going to come back, right? We're going to have a brain drain issue.
Yeah.
So I think personally, I wanted to come back because I can make a change. I can create opportunities. I don't want to be given an opportunity. I want to create opportunities for myself and for other people. Yeah. And, you know, if we have the resources, the talent, the skill to do that, I think everybody should do that.
You know, Kadman, if you can tie this conversation back to the one we had about the distributed economy, which is the theme of this year's summit, do you look to government to provide solutions, or are you looking elsewhere for solutions? Is government a very important part of the way you think about problem solving for the future?
I think because government imposes a certain level of model, certain level of framework to it, and if it doesn't correlate with, you know, what the young people thinks and what the aspiration of young corporates and the community and the people, right, then it plays a very, very important role. But at the same time, we can make a difference, but we can make our voice heard nowadays.
Okay, so we just had budget 2019, and the government announced that, you know, entrepreneurship was going to be a big part of the government's push, right? The government was going to help enable entrepreneurship. Uji, did you watch the budget discussion? Was it something, or any of you, did you watch budget 2019? Do you think it was an important part of the kind of conversations you want to have with other, with your peers?
I think, well, I have a lot to say on the budget, but I think it's by far one of the most innovative budgets that we've had to date. I think the government went all out to try new things. And when everybody was expecting a contractionary budget, we went all out an expansionary budget, which I think is great. But here's what I didn't like about the budget. It didn't actually focus on real issues. I mean, they focused on a lot of issues that are important, but there are a lot of issues that didn't get addressed, like education, right? Which is a huge issue. They didn't talk about government institutions, right? Government offices. How are these going to be transformed? Because essentially, we focus a lot on the private sector, but we don't focus much on the governmental sector, which employs most of Malaysians, which controls a lot of how things happen, right? When you go to government hospitals, offices. When you go to government offices, if you try to pay your summons, you know, there's a lot of things that goes on behind here.
Okay, but maybe the budget, we're going to have to bring you back for more discussion on the budget. But I do want to ask you, in the remaining minutes that we have, what would you say to other young people, presumably who are watching this show because it's such an exciting show, what would you say to them to come for the summit or at least link up with you, if not for this summit, for the other events that you have? Kadman?
I say give yourself an opportunity to be exposed to a theme and a topic that is very foreign, especially, I mean, in country at least. And you will never know what opportunity and what kind of network that you may be able to get out of it.
Yeah.
And Wiji, what would you say?
I echo with Kadman very much. It's all about the network, right? So there is a saying saying that you are the average of the five people around you. So you want to surround yourself with. You want to surround.
I set a high bar.
You want to surround yourself with people that you want to be, you aspire to be, and not just, you know, just live in your comfort zone and, you know, work a 9-to-6 job and that's all you do. So go for summit, meet new people, talk to people, expand your horizon, and I think that would do.
Hey, Lavanya, curiosity, clearly you all have that. You know, passion, you all have that in abundance. There's a lot of hard work, actually, in being curious and passionate, isn't there?
Yeah.
Do you think most people your age are up to the task of making that investment in time, energy, to actually go outside your comfort zone?
I think no matter how much passion you have, there will be always that time when you wake up in the morning and you're like, do I really, really want to do this? Do I really want to go there? I think,
we all can relate to that.
Yeah. But what makes the difference is, do you actually do it despite not wanting to do it, right? To find that drive is what it takes, that discipline. It's just discipline. It's not passion. It's not talent. It's not skill. It's just that discipline that I will go and do it. You know, it doesn't matter if it scares me. Like, Huichi scares me, Kadman scares me, because they raise the standards really high, you know. You've got to compete that. You got to fulfill expectations. Right. And that's important to have. People who push you.
I think when it comes to discipline, you put it in the first place. Things come along your way.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Last word. Where do people go to find out more about Young Corporate Malaysians and this summit that you're having on the 24th?
First, follow our Facebook and also Instagram. And we are also on LinkedIn as well
and Twitter.
Yeah. And to find out more about Summit, go to the website summit.ycm.org.my, and you can find out everything about Summit there, and also register for Summit there.
Right. So 2 days to the deadline, right?
Thank you very much.
It's been a wonderfully exciting discussion I had in the studio with me, Lo Hui Chi, Kadman Chong, and Lavanya Vijayakumar. All members of Young Corporate Malaysians. They're having a summit in a couple of week and a half or so, I think.
Next weekend.
2 weekends from now. So look out for that. This has been Let's Talk with Misharat Kutin, only on Astro Wani. Thank you. Thank you so much for doing this.